Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Out there, friends, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. I am Cam Hale, and as always, in studio with me is this troublemaker over here pounding. I don't know what he's rocking and rolling with over here in his tumbler, but it's Mr. Kyle Filio Filson. Filson, my friend, what are you drinking over there?
I have a glass of ice cold Pepsi. That's right. I took the Pepsi challenge, and I prefer it over Coca-Cola.
What's out there now? Is it the Pepsi Clear that I keep seeing?
I don't know.
You remember that crap?
Yeah.
Clear. I'm like, what is? I was never impressed with it when I first saw it as a kid because I'm like, they just didn't put the coloring in it. That's really not cool.
That's exactly right.
That's all you did?
Don't mess with the original. Remember New Coke? I'm just joking about the Pepsi challenge. I actually like Pepsi. I actually like Coke. I actually like Dr. Pepper. I don't have a favorite. I switch it around all the time.
Just mix it up.
I like RC Cola. Sometimes I like a good root beer sometimes.
I like a good root beer
IBC
every now and
root beer is really good.
Yeah, I like a good root beer every now and then. Yeah. I haven't had a soda in a long time. I need to go get me one.
Every once in a while, I like to indulge. It's Labor Day weekend. I figured, what the heck? Got to watch some college football this weekend, and my Longhorns pulled out the overtime victory.
I still can't believe they beat Notre Dame.
I can't either. It was a really good game.
And I can't believe OU lost.
Yeah. Upset town. I know LSU. Everybody. It was crazy. Lots of upsets. I really enjoy college football.
A lot of upsets. Man, I have been slaving away in my front yard, bro. I had to, my lawnmower laid down on me. I had to come get your lawnmower to finish mowing my yard.
Yeah.
Because it was like knee high with all the rains. It had finally laid off the rain.
My backyard looked like the Cambodian Laos.
I heard you lost
border.
Luke for like 6 days in the backyard here lately.
Yeah, I think I saw an orang pen deck. And some other thing. I ran over a few toys. I mean, I was like, I'm like, what's that? Oh, that was part of a dinosaur.
Oh, shucks. There that one goes. Well, we've been discussing something a little bit off air, and then Kyle told me he had something to tell me about it because we were discussing what I had seen a little bit online about SpaceX.
Yeah, we've been keeping up with SpaceX, you know, and their constant evolution as, you know, privatized spaceflight. Anyways, if you're not keeping up with what happened last Thursday, September 1st, an unmanned SpaceX rocket topped with an Israeli satellite was being prepped for a test firing at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida when something went wrong. The 604-ton Falcon 9 rocket was being fueled, they say, with a potent mix of liquid oxygen and rocket-grade kerosene propellant when an explosion quickly enveloped the launch pad in flames. Now, the ensuing fireball delivered a blow to the efforts of two high-profile billionaires, SpaceX chief executive, of course, Elon Musk, and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. The rocket, scheduled to launch on Saturday, was carrying a satellite designed to bring the internet to remote villages in Africa and to help the social media giant expand its global footprint. Although disappointing, what may have caused this explosion, Cam, is what's stranger. Now, it seems that a video has recently emerged of what appears to be an unidentified flying object actually zooming behind the Falcon 9 SpaceX rocket just moments before it exploded. Now, the use of the word anomaly and the first tweets after the explosion made by many suspicious people immediately that this was something more than an accidental explosion. Now, I'll put links to it in the show notes, and you can watch it. There actually is something in the video I see. It's moving around, and, man, I don't know what it is. Now, they say that initial speculation, as always, was that it was a bug or a bird or perhaps even a drone. This UFO, this unidentified flying object, appears to be behind the towers near the rocket, so a bug flying in front of the camera can be eliminated. The speed at which it enters and exits the view looks much too fast to be any known bird, and I have to agree. They said if it was a drone observing and recording the test, it would most likely be stationary and moving only slowly. Again, the speed of this UFO traveled doesn't seem right for an observational drone. So, there's been already a couple speculations. Could it have been a secret high-speed military drone? Is someone in the government upset about private space travel and it's trying to, you know, stop them from going to space? Or is it truly an actual alien extraterrestrial UFO and that, once again, they're sabotaging our rockets? Now, there isn't anything in the video that shows, like, something shoot out of this UFO and hit the rocket, but it is weird that this rocket is being fueled and all of a sudden it catches fire and there is something, like, flying around near it and then it just kind of zips out. Makes you wonder. Like,
that's pretty strange.
That is strange. And I had a great uncle who was at Los Alamos back in, we're talking World War II days, 1940s. Mm-hmm. And he told me that out there on the Wrestle Range that several times he saw a few strange orbs flying around. This kind of looks like that. So is something monitoring what we're doing with these rockets? I don't know.
Breakaway society. They don't want you getting up there into space.
Could be true, but you might need to go to the show notes and click on the link and give it a look.
I saw part of that video and it looks pretty, it is interesting. I don't know. You know, I don't know what it is. You can't really tell. It's not, like you said, it's not perfectly clear, but it is strange that it just so happens that there's a coincidence that something strange is in there when that thing explodes.
Yeah, right.
I was prodding around and, you know, we're always looking at the different shapes. Like we always been bringing up the different designs, if you will, of the UFOs recently, you know, like we always bring up the flying triangles and all this. Well, I was over there at Open Minds prodding around and I found a couple. Now, this is what I'm going to talk about. This is actually comes from Arkansas. There's a witness at Little Rock reported watching what they call this an intense white spiraling flat circular light that moved at incredible speed. Now, that was a testimony. Everybody get their pens out. This is case number 78598 from MUFON. It was actually spotted at 1:01 a.m. along Lindsay Road, westbound, on August 21st of 2016. Now, this is what the witness says. I was at the curve in the road approaching the FedEx facility when out my driver's side window, I saw an incredibly intense white spiraling light streaking across the sky at an incredible speed. Picture the spiral from Hitchcock's Vertigo. I would say the light reminded me of LED lighting, but much more intense. Now, when asked, the witness described the light as this. In the slightly dimmer parts within the spiral, I may have picked up some very faint yellow, somewhat pixelated lights. The object was at about 45 degrees in the sky, moving from northwest to southeast. It appeared to be slightly ascending by approximately 5 degrees in the short time I saw it. When people count using one Mississippi, my sighting would have been more like one. That's what he says, as it was moving so fast.
Wow.
When they ask about the size, get this. It says, from my vantage point, it was the size of a typical watermelon. It did not appear to be very high in the sky. I had my radio on, but did not hear the sounds or feel the slight vibration one feels when a plane flies low overhead. I heard nothing and felt nothing. It appeared to me that the spiraling light was the undercarriage of an object, but all my eyes could detect was the light. Now, it says the observation area that this happened at was near an airport. It said the road is directly south of Little Rock Airport or Clinton Airport. Dun, dun, dun. When I got home, I checked the flight schedules. It did not show the departing flights. The last arriving flights was around 2 hours before my sighting. So this airport doesn't have much air traffic late at night. And it also goes on to say this about the local Air Force base. The witness says, I also looked up types of lighting on aircraft, but didn't see anything similar to what I had seen. And the Little Rock Air Force Base does do maneuvers at Little Rock Airport runways and in their airspace. But it is a C-130 base.
Right.
Of course, it says that there could be jets from other places from time to time at the Little Rock Air Force Base. It says this object was moving at least as fast as a fighter jet, if not faster. And if the object did come from the airport, it seemed to be departing based on its direction of travel. I have traveled this road for the past 8 years and have never seen anything like this. I actually don't ever see a lot of air traffic, even during the day when going to work. I do occasionally see planes at night, but never this late. And they are always easily recognizable as planes. I just would really like to know what I saw. But I like the way this person says it looked like it should have been part of the undercarriage of something flying. Maybe what they just saw that you normally can't see, or maybe the way that whatever this flying device is.
Right.
What if that's the propulsion system? That's some sort of magnetic propulsion system that you normally don't see, but just so happens they were just at the right angle underneath it to see that propulsion system.
Could be, right?
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty cool. Well, if that doesn't frighten you enough, this might. Earth was just missed again, Cam.
Oh, God.
By a 180-foot asteroid, which no one saw coming.
Yay.
A couple days ago, astronomers in Brazil discovered asteroid 2016 QA2.
What was that again?
2016 QA2, which is a celestial body in the diameter of around 55 meters or 180 feet. It was a close call, and just a day before the celestial body zoomed by within 80,000 kilometers of Earth, researchers didn't even know it existed. Imagine if it were an asteroid of a greater size, and that's, of course, was slightly deviated by Earth's gravity. The outcome could have been disastrous. Now, this asteroid, which passed less than a quarter of the distance between the Earth and the Moon, you know, that's what's so terrifying, is no one saw it coming. Now, they say just before the asteroid flew past Earth, astronomers at the Sonar Observatory in Brazil discovered the rock, estimating its size to be around 180 feet. Now, remember that one that exploded over Chelyabinsk in Russia in 2013? You remember that one that smashed a lot of windows and injured more than 1,000 people? Well, they say it was bigger than that. They think it was
really.
They say it was most likely around the same size as the one that hit in Tunguska back in 1908. And that, of course, you know, leveled trees from miles across.
Millions.
2,150-kilometer diameter, they think. They say it was something more along those lines and have had just a little bit closer, a little bit different trajectory. Man, that thing, if, say, it hit a major metropolis like Moscow.
That's what we always talk about. Yeah, say it slammed into New York City.
Man, it could be a real problem. And this seems to be a continuing problem. The fact that these asteroids are constantly zooming by Earth and we're really not aware of it until the last moment. There's two things I think of. Is it because everything that's zooming by is small, like Chelyabinsk, maybe smaller than Tunguska, and that's why we're not seeing it? So we're really not that worried because that's not a global killer. Okay?
Yeah.
If that hits, yes, it could cause a problem, but it's not like the one that hit off the Yucatan Peninsula. They say that thing was about 10 kilometers.
Yes.
Not 180 feet, but 10 kilometers in size. Is that why we're not detecting this stuff? Or are we simply very inept and we just don't have the ability to detect it? And so we just really don't talk about it.
Kinda maybe it's like a little of both.
You know what I mean? It could be.
Yeah.
But it's terrifying because they say that we literally are like floating around in a shooting gallery. And it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And, you know, sooner or later, something is going to hit the Earth. Something much larger than Tunguska. Something that could cause a real problem.
I don't ever think about it. And I'm never going to think about it.
You can't, right?
The main reason why is because it's been happening since the day you and I were born. Since everybody that's listening, anybody that hears
everybody
our voice right
born,
now, right now, it's been going on. We're just now getting to dabble in the fact that, one of them got real close. That one of them that got real close, they might have been one of them twice as close as that whenever you were 12 years old. You just never knew it.
Right, exactly.
It's one of those things. And there's also, there's another part to this story. Ain't a damn thing y'all can do about it either.
It doesn't appear to be so, but that's what they're talking about is, should the human race come together and let's come up with something to maybe we can work on it. And instead of searching for planets like this Planet Nine or whatever this is, and these other star systems, light years away,
protecting ourselves.
Why don't we just protect ourselves and quit worrying about all that? Or you can do that, but let's take care of this business first, right?
Because we can't even agree on football teams or what's the best soda. Or just we're never going to come together.
No.
Those ideas are over. There's no way.
Imagine all the people, you know, John Lennon stuff. That's a great song, but it's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Look at the Middle East. I mean, people are still
not just that.
Fighting.
Look at your neighbors. I mean, you can look at your next door neighbor.
Yeah, right?
You're not going to agree with them. You're like, you didn't mow far enough, or that's too far. or my yard's greener than your yard. People are never going to get along. You can still love each other and not get along.
Yeah.
But people are never going to get along.
Man, maybe it's about time an asteroid does hit and just wipe us out.
Or if you want to take a vacation, you want to run off, you know, and start talking about going to Planet Nine and all this stuff. We posted this on Facebook. I love this. Jessica over there in the UK, she actually commented on it talking about Total Recall. I couldn't agree more because that's what this is, folks. Motherboard posted how virtual reality could offer vacations without leaving the house. Exactly. It says that Expedia.co.uk recently released its Holiday of the Future, which is some enlightening predictions about how technology will ease our travel woes. It goes on to say that there are some bits in the report about paying for vacations with cryptocurrency, predictive travel booking algorithms, says to plan efficient vacations, and, of course, every step of the vacation from packing to checking in. Some sort of automation or whatnot, a little problems here and there aren't going to be here and there anymore. But there's a contributor to this report named Rachel Power. She works for Virtual Reality News. This is what she had to say. Virtual reality has the potential to radically change travel. People can try before they buy by visiting locations in VR, from the United Arab Emirates to the Irish Wild Atlantic Way. She also goes on to say that it also shakes things up for those who are immobile or on smaller budgets. They can view Machu Picchu, basically. So the view from Machu Picchu is now simply the cost of a Google Cardboard headset away, is what she says.
Wow.
Now, there's a VR developer that they talked to named Ralph Barbagallo, and this is what he told Motherboard. There's a VR Grand Canyon app out that's kind of neat. You canoe through the Grand Canyon interactively, but unless you've actually been to the Grand Canyon, there's no way current VR technology can come close to simulating the experience. Now, what they say here, close is a relative term, of course. So there's companies like Pryo VR and Axon VR already working on full-body interaction VR rigs. Now, John DeScala says, who travels around 150,000 miles and visits 20 countries per year, is known as Johnny Jet. Now, Motherboard interviewed him, and this is what he said. I think VR is definitely going to influence travelers on where they are going to spend their money. Nothing is ever going to compete with the real thing. You take a tour of these places, the rooms, the pool, the spa. It will really help with the spending decision, but I don't think people are going to sit on the couch taking a wholly virtual vacation without wanting to actually go there.
Now, yeah, but, you know, if you can't afford to go there, it'd be the next best thing, right?
Well, it would be, but I see what they're saying is Total Recall, they put the memory in your head. It wasn't VR, it was a memory. It tricked your brain as to believing that that really happened to you. You were actually there.
Right.
This just is going to give you the VR tour of it. You know, much like the 360-degree picture that you can post up on, you know, on Facebook, when your iPhone will do it, different phones will do it, where you can hold it and look at spots, you know, and look all around, almost like you're standing there. This is scratching the surface. This is really scratching the surface. But Barbagallo actually says this about the VR. He's the VR developer. Says this, I think a 5-star hotel gives you an experience beyond what you can see. I mean, visually, I could be at a luxury hotel, but I'm still sitting on my crispy Walmart sheets. And that's exactly what we're talking about, is it's not just what you see. See, that's what I think too many people is. It's not just what you see. It's actually experiencing it. It's actually being there with the smells,
right, yeah,
the sounds, the humidity of the moisture whenever you're on the coast, the feeling of the rocks in your hands. It's all of these things. It's a overall interaction with
immersive,
exactly,
much more immersive.
What's going on, and it's not just visual. The visual
thing.
Do you think
that they'll ever reach a point in time where they have, where it is more immersive, where they can copy not just the visual, but the smells and the sense of touch and the
yes,
feeling? I do too.
So I do believe it's coming. Yeah,
I want to try one of those HTC Vives. Have you seen those?
Is that the VR, uh-huh, the whole headset thing?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, $800. I think we should buy one of those.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
really,
whoa,
cool.
Whoa, whoa,
no?
Whoa, 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 no, 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 no.
Why?
No,
what,
no, dude, it would take up too much of your time, and I know how you are, dude. Come on, no.
There's an archery game on there, though, that looks really awesome.
I know it does, and I'm not doing it. No, I'm not getting caught. I'm not falling for their propaganda. I do like what this has to say, though, is if you were planning on going somewhere and you wanted to kind of see what it was like you'd never been,
yeah,
this is pretty cool to put you on that. Or imagine like a cruise ship. You're like, well, which room do I want to go to? It's one thing to look on the computer. It's another thing to put a headset on and you're walking around. You're like, oh, okay. All right. This is what I'm thinking of. And this could be good or bad, but this is what I'm thinking of, because I'm thinking of we're going to get into, folks, some sightings that have happened by who, Kyle?
Police officers.
Exactly. And I'm thinking of them. I'm thinking of, say you've got somebody holed up in an office building, mm-hmm. bank robber, something like that. If you knew it and you could slap the VR headset on the SWAT officers that are going to go in.
Right.
Well, now they're going through it. They already know. When you make a left turn, there's a place that this person could possibly be hiding. It's not a surprise anymore. You've already, in 30 minutes, they've already been all through that building. They know what to expect before they get inside that building.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
You got to think about it in training. You know, I remember Joe Rogan talking about this on his podcast, was how long before it becomes training for mixed martial artists? Because you can actually fight against, say, an Anderson Silva, or say you're going to fight, I don't know, pick somebody. Say you got to fight Wonder Boy, and that you're going to fight him. Well, you can go and put the VR headset of what's already happened, and it's almost, you're fighting him right now. You're fighting his style. They have a guy that can already do it in the VR, so you're learning that too. So I think VR is fixing to make huge leaps in the next 20 years.
Man, that's pretty cool. Well, let's take a break, folks. When we get back from the break, we're going to be discussing some encounters that were experienced by police officers. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Being a public servant is often a thankless job. One such occupation is that of a police officer. Most of us take it for granted that these men and women volunteer to patrol our city streets to keep us safe, and they even risk their own lives. So on today's show, we decided to showcase some actual paranormal sightings witnessed by actual police officers while on duty. Let's begin. Back in 2008, I was sent to a call about a neighbor dispute, which is never a good time. Being a referee in the middle of two neighbors that have a great disliking of each other is never a good time. So I get there, and this completely professional woman is pissed off beyond comprehension. I say professional woman because in my occupation, dealing with all types, the first thing I tend to see in people is their education and their professional level. She seemed very normal, well-rounded, and there was nothing that would indicate any type of drug abuse or substances. So, I begin to try to figure out what's going on. Ma'am, can you tell me specifically what is the problem? She informs me that her neighbors are racist, and they've been threatening her by yelling through her wall whenever she's inside the house. This seems legit to me. She was convincing, and when I interrupted and had her retell the story at different points, it was always the same, with the same details. In short, I could not twist her story and say to myself, it seems like she's just making this up. So, I start writing things down that she says. She tells me that she has lived at this house with her husband for about a month now and loves it. but every time they're inside their house, their racist neighbor screams, "Leave the home!" And they're tired of it. She goes on and tells me that before she called this time, she was bringing groceries into the house. Now, she likes to pile all the groceries by the back door, one at a time, then bring in the bags to the kitchen. She told me that while she was in the kitchen, the neighbor must have shot a 24 case of soda with a pellet gun or something. So, I go outside and I looked at the case. And there were several cans inside of that case that looked to be leaking. And there were even empty, some of them. But I didn't see where any projectile hit the case. It was also only about 70 degrees out and beautiful. So I opened the case, which was sealed, and there were four cans that just looked smashed to hell. All the rest were fine, and I saw no pellet holes or whatever else. Also, in my mind, I have no idea how these cans could have been this deformed in the pattern they were found in without damaging any of the nearby cans. Now, I might be college educated and have some cop experience, but I shrug it off because how the hell do I know they weren't damaged during the packaging or some other logical explanation? But I will have to tell you, my spider sense started tingling. So I continued on and I went next door and did the cop thing. And two of the sweetest old women ever lived in the house next door. They were of the same race as the neighbor who was in distress. And no males lived there or had even been there. So I go back to the complainant and asked, where does the voice come from? And she points right at the old lady's house next door. I ask, is it a male's voice or a female's voice? And she without hesitation said, male. He always sounds so pissed off all the time. So in an effort to put this to rest, because obviously there was some kind of disconnect, and anytime you can get neighbors to be happy, they tend not to call anymore. I marched the complainant over to the neighbor's house to introduce everyone. She, like so many people now, had no idea who was living next door to her. We all got invited inside, and you could picture two grandmothers that were roommates. You can picture the inside of the house. They even had a candy tray with pastries to offer. So, finally, I explain to the grandmothers what's going on. And I swear, one of them looks right at me and goes, Jerry said that happened to him all the time before he passed. Then they tell us the previous owner, whose name was Jerry, apparently told them that a voice was yelling at him to leave the home a few months before taking a handful of sleeping pills. Now, I'm a pretty rational person, but the more I thought about it, the crazy racist neighbors usually don't yell things like, leave the home. They're usually more explicit and more hateful. I kind of think that the only type of entity that would tell you to leave the home would be something inside the home. So I have no idea what this was. I know that a short time later, I saw a real estate sign in the front of that house, and the complainant was packing her stuff into a truck. She waved, I waved back, but that's all I know, and I'm luckily not assigned to that area anymore.
On March 19, 1992, in Haines City, Florida, just before 4 a.m., a patrolman named Luis Delgado frantically radioed his dispatcher. He said that a light had begun following him soon after he steered down a dark street alongside a citrus grove, and he requested assistance. Luis said that he had noticed a rapidly descending bright green light in his rearview mirror. Only seconds later, the interior of the cruiser lit up as the light moved to his right and began to pace the car at about 40 miles an hour. When he slowed his patrol car, he said the light maneuvered around in front of him and that it was so bright and brilliant that he had to squint, and what he saw behind the glow, it shocked him. He says it appeared to be a metallic object, dome-shaped, about 15 feet wide, hovering over the road. Well, Delgado pulled his car over to a stop, and soon as he did, the engine, lights, and radio all went dead. This object continued to silently hover about 10 foot off the pavement and 20 foot in front of his vehicle. Delgado slowly got out of his car and began stepping backwards down the street as panic was setting in. He says that he noticed that his breath fogged in front of him as if it were a cold morning, yet the temperature was only 60 degrees. The object departed slightly, and Delgado quickly returned to his patrol car where the ignition, lights, and radio all started up again without any assistance. At 3:56 a.m., 4 minutes after Delgado made his distress call to the dispatcher, three patrol cars arrived. The sergeant, Mr. H.L. Bartley, found Luis sitting in his cruiser with the door wide open. He was shaking, trembling. Later that morning, Luis Delgado underwent both a physical and a psychological examination, neither of which found any evidence of injury or mental abnormality. Sergeant Bartley, now retired, vouches for Delgado's credibility, saying that "I don't doubt he saw something strange out there that morning." But many years after the incident, Luis Delgado did not speak about anything that happened to him, and it wasn't until 1999 when he finally opened up, just to say that he thinks about it every day, about what happened to him. He said this, "It's still so vivid in my mind. It was the strangest experience of my life."
Myself and a buddy on my squad responded to an alarm. The incident location was an old office-type building that had been converted to doctor's offices. There was a pharmacy attached to it. Our dispatch received a motion signal from an upstairs office. So we had a key holder who arrived on scene, and we go in to secure the building. The stairs were locked behind that door. Of course, the key holder didn't have the keys to, so we took the elevator up to the second floor. Not the most tactically sound option, I know. The elevator opens to a pitch black hallway, except for one overhead light at the end of the hall. We start checking the doors, and so far, all are secured. We get to the last office, and sure enough, the door is unlocked. We make entry and observe it to be an unused office. The door opened to a sizable waiting room and reception area. There were about 10 or 12 exam rooms, all cleared with no hiccups. We exit the office, and immediately something seems off. That is when I realized that the overhead light at our end of the hallway had now been turned off, replaced by another light over by the elevators. Now I looked at my squad mate, and he is completely white. I ask him, "What's wrong with this picture?" And he says, "Weren't all those doors we just checked closed and locked?" I tell him, "Yeah, so?" And he says, "Well, now they're all standing open." Sure enough, all the offices down the hallway we had just checked were now standing open. Needless to say, the pucker factor went up at this point. So, we start clearing offices and securing offices. We finish the last office, and on our way out, just before we turn the corner to get into the waiting area, the main door just slams shut. Then, our radios started going nuts with some kind of static feedback. Now, I just want to get the hell out of here. We get back in the elevator and head down to the first floor to make contact with the keyholder again. However, the keyholder is nowhere to be found. I contact dispatch and request a callback number for the keyholder so I can advise him of what we found. Dispatch states that the keyholder was still en route, and he was advising of an ETA of around 5 minutes. Now, I'd advised dispatch that we had already been out here with the keyholder, and dispatch requests that I give them a call. So, I call dispatch, and she tells me that there's no way we were out there with the keyholder. She states that the alarm company had only just made contact with one. Eventually, the real keyholder arrived on scene, and I asked her about the man that had let us in the building in the first place, the first keyholder. She asked me to describe him, so I did. She states that that sounds like one of the doctors that used to lease the office on the second floor, the one at the end of the hall. She stated that he had committed suicide at his summer home several days ago. To this day, I still will not go back to that office building.
In the mid-80s in Dulce, New Mexico, I was a law enforcement officer with the Jicarilla Apache Police. I had gone over to the graveyard shift at midnight with another officer and a dispatcher. The first call, immediately sent us out to a single female's home to take over for another shift. Arriving there, I was informed that a small being was in her house at the foot of her bed with a box shining a laser-like red light at her. Well, the other officers, knowing it was their shift change, left without any further investigation and making fun of us, mind you. She was obviously shaken up, and I did notice some electrical malfunctions within her home and something even more strange. Her animals, like her horses and her dogs, were extremely uneasy. Now, throughout the night, I continued to check on her. Once in the early morning, I was called to her home. Her house was dark, and as I entered, I could hear her down the hall crying for help. She again informed me that visitors with a light in her home, and it seemed strangely quiet there. Now, no one to be found in the home or even in the area, but in the early morning when the sun comes up, when there is light, I drove up to the home to make a check, and I noticed some movement in the brush. Now, just in the tree line west of our home, about 15 yards away, I still really don't understand what I saw. But soon after I stepped out of my patrol car, there were three oval craft in a triangular pattern about the size of a three-bedroom home lifted off from behind some juniper trees about 30 yards away. They were silently, without any noise, without any downdraft. Then a bright white light came on, and they slowly moved in the direction east towards Chama, New Mexico, and slowly gained altitude. Now, the other officer that was with me, and even our dispatcher, was witness to this. And shortly after I heard on the state police frequency from Chama about those UFOs that were being called in on them, well, I felt completely helpless. As an officer, I'm sworn to protect people. And when someone needs help, that's my job. But I was completely helpless to help this woman who would ask of me. I was unable to assist and protect her in her time of need. And it still bothers me today.
In August of 1976, Paul Goslin, who at the time was 18 years old, was out driving around with a friend, Marty Paddock. The two were driving down a bare road in the town of Hampton when they heard a female screaming. Goslin and Paddock glanced out into the vast field to see where the noise was coming from. The two reported to see a large ape-like creature between 7 and 8 feet tall darting towards their car. Immediately, they both got in the car and stormed into the village of Whitehall to report what they saw to the police. Now, Goslin's own brother, Brian, was the on-duty police officer in the village of Whitehall that night. When his father, brother, and Paddock came flying back into the village, they were so strung out with excitement and fear. The following night was Brian Goslin's night off from work, so, deciding to follow up his brother's claims, he went to go out and see for himself. Goslin was now down in the meadows where his father and brother had seen this creature, while a state trooper he knew was at the top of the hill on a bare road. The two were communicating back and forth via radio. After about an hour and a half, Goslin was radioed by the state trooper, who said,
"Brian, come in, Brian. Do you copy? Man, you're not going to believe what I just saw. I'm getting out of here. You're on your own. Over."
The state trooper sped away, leaving Goslin all alone. Well, he decided to stay. And here is an actual interview done with police officer Brian Goslin.
Bear Road, and it was after midnight, and then Jim, he says, Brian, what the hell is it? What the Christ? Holy shit, I'm getting out of here. Believe it or not, he tore ass out of that field, and he headed back towards Whitehall, went by me. I'm out in the field, and he went by me, and he went back to Whitehall. So I waited another couple of minutes, and it sounded like it was boom right there in front of me. Something told me to turn my spotlight on, which I did. And all I can remember seeing was this creature, 7.5-8 foot tall. I guesstimated his weight 400 pounds, his, her weight, whatever. And as soon as I hit it with a spotlight, it just brought hands and covered its eyes and let out such a deep, guttural, I can't say screech, holler. And when they say your light flashes before your eyes, believe you me, it does. We've actually had reports in the past from forest rangers, deputy sheriffs from other counties. Everybody sees something, but nobody wants to admit what they see.
In the early morning hours on May 28, 2016, approximately 2:45 a.m., in Westminster, Maryland, two of the Westminster City police officers were on duty and happened to be standing in a parking lot across from White's Bicycle Shop on West Main Street. It was at this time that they both noticed something moving inside the bicycle shop across the street. What they saw, they reported as a slender or thin tall black figure that was roughly 6 feet in height. They observed this figure moving quickly from right to left towards the coin shop that was next door to the bicycle shop, as there's a doorway between the two shops. Both officers quickly looked at each other, not believing what they had seen, and questioning one another to make sure they had both seen the same movement inside the bicycle shop. Well, agreeing on what they saw, they felt that they had seen an intruder inside the shop because it had been robbed before, and quickly called for backup, as well as asking for an after-hours night reference to call for that shop. It was at this point that both officers moved quietly into a shadowed part of the parking lot, waiting on backup, so that whoever was in the shop would not see their presence. At this point, one of the officers saw what he said appeared to be the reflection of a male face with no body in the glass of the coin shop next door. This was the direction that the shadowy figure moved. Once their backup arrived on the scene, they took up position behind the building that housed the bicycle and the coin shops. One of the officers called the night reference that they were given and just so happened to be the owner of the bicycle shop. The officer asked the owner if anyone was supposed to be in the shop at that time, and he indicated that his son was there in an apartment in the back of the shop. Well, of course, thinking that that's what they had seen, they went to the owner's son and made contact. After questioning him and seeing his physical appearance was much different than the black shadow they had witnessed earlier, the officers told the son what they had seen and asked if anyone else was present. The owner's son told the officers that he was the only one there and gave them permission to search the shop. Finding no one else inside the shop and no signs of forced entry, the officers questioned the owner's son further, asking if there had been any other odd occurrences inside the shop. The owner's son told the officers that the building that the bicycle and coin shop was in was originally built in the 1800s, and that the son knew of a female that had committed suicide in the building by hanging herself a few years ago. However, the officers say that the figure they saw appeared to be male. The owner's son also mentioned that there were apartments above the shop that the prior tenants had reported seeing strange, shadowy figures in the past. And it was important to note that the apartments above the shop are in a separate part of the building and that there's no direct access from those apartments to the shop. That entrance to and from these apartments is in the back of the building. Another thing. The officers noted that the part of the bicycle shop's security system includes motion sensors that turns on additional lighting when activated. The two officers who witnessed the shadowy figure both say that none of the bicycle shop security measures were ever activated, yet they both saw this figure cast a shadow against the night lighting that was on the inside of the shop at the time.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives stories from police officers. These are very cool. You know, this is something that I never really thought about before. You know, we talk about sightings from all types of things, whether it's extraterrestrial UFOs, whether it's cryptids, whether it's ghosts, whatever. But for some reason, when you have people that have a certain amount of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Professionalism associated with them. Like, for whatever reason, a UFO sighting by a pilot to me is much more, has a little bit more weight to it than just an average person. Because I'm thinking of a pilot is in the sky all the time. He's familiar with other planes, other things in the air. Probably less likely to be confused by something in the air. The same thing with police officers. Now, of course, there's going to be people that are going to hear this and be like, some, you know, they're thinking of Barney Fife. Somebody doesn't know what's going on. You know what I mean? And of course there is, I'm sure, those types of police officers in small towns or something. But there's also people that are very dedicated to investigation and detective work. And these people are trained to spot things and to notice details about things because they, whenever they're out doing things and responding to these calls, they have to write a report about every one of these things. And they have to go into detail. I know this because I've been on a police ride before, you know, where you ride around with the police and watch how they do their job. I was doing that, you know, for a whole night shift. We drove around the city of Fort Worth. And there was way more paperwork than I ever thought ever happened with that job. I mean, it could be something as simple as going to somebody's apartment because they're having a fight with their own kid or something, and they just separate them. You would think something like that wouldn't merit an actual report, but they still have to. I mean, it has to be documented. Just in case something was to happen, you know, everything has to be documented. So you're talking about people who are patrolling an area, probably their beat, as they call it. Their area, their section of town, whatever precinct they're in. They do this every week. So they're very familiar with every building, every street, even the people that live in a lot of these places. So they're very good at picking up on what's not right, what doesn't feel right, what looks out of ordinary experience. And so I give a lot of validity to whenever a police officer or someone like that is describing what they're seeing. And I like these, you know, incidences where they're called out, much like the first story I read, where the woman's complaining about somebody yelling at her. And then they go next door and it turns out the people next door is two elderly women that are roommates. And they report that the person that lived in that house prior to the woman that moved in, the person complaining, is that guy was saying the same thing.
Something was
yelling at him to get out of that house. It reminds me of another story I read one time where it was a similar thing. And I tried to find the story and I couldn't find it. I don't remember where it came from, but I remember reading about it. And basically a very similar thing. Like, you imagine a duplex where it's one house, right? But it's split in half, okay? So there's two tenants in this duplex. This person was only occupied, this duplex was only occupied on one side. The other side was vacant.
Okay.
Now, the people living in their side of the duplex would complain that they would hear people next door fighting, like a couple fighting, making noise, beating on the doors, beating on the walls. And they would call the police to come investigate, and the police would come, and there's no one there.
Nobody there.
No one living there. Now, of course, the cops say, well, maybe somebody was coming in and out of the back window. But this happened several times, and it kind of reminded me about this is when I was reading the story, is it's kind of like that, these disembodied voices that somehow or for some reason are attached to a specific place. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not claiming that whatever this voice was is what caused that guy to commit suicide by taking, you know, too many pills. Maybe that was just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe this was some kind of demonic voice that was, you know, messing with that guy and caused him to take his own life. I don't know. I also like the story of the two police officers that responded to the motion sensors going off, an alarm building at this doctor's office, and they met this key holder, a person that has the keys to let him in the building, and they experienced some weird stuff while they're there, and then they called dispatch, and I'm like, well, where'd the key holder go? And they're like, well, he hasn't got there yet. He just was
It's almost like a time slip, like they were involved in some sort of overlapping time slip.
Right, and it happened to be, could it have been that doctor that committed suicide months ago?
That's crazy, had that same office.
Yeah. I don't know. What? Interesting.
I don't, there's things that I'd want to, like I said, there's certain things that I just don't want to believe is real because it just freaks me out so much. Because you don't ever, because, I mean, really and truly, given those ideals, I mean, it's almost like every place you go should have some sort of residual leftovers of somebody or something in it.
And maybe it does. Maybe just you are not able to perceive it.
And I'm glad.
I am too.
I am thankful that I'm not able to perceive it.
Well, we've spoken to people, mediums and such, that they claim that their life is in chaos, that they're tormented because they constantly are hearing
impasse
spirits
of people
and stuff. And I'm always like, you know, come on, is that real? Or is the person just saying that because they want, some people for whatever reason always want sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what that is? Or is it 100% true and that person really is being tormented from these spirits?
Well,
and how terrible that must be.
Yeah. Some people just seem to have, they're just like a magnifier, an antenna for it. I really believe that some people feel there's just too much, you know, there's just too much going on that I think some people actually are more attuned and more, it just makes sense. Some people's got better eyesight than others. Some people have better taste buds than others, sommeliers or, people, and you train that part. Well, you got to imagine if you had that kind of feeling and you were open to it instead of closed-minded to it, open to it. maybe it was, you trained yourself to kind of be more along those lines of where you could maybe understand and figure things out more that way. The thing that bothers me the most, and I know a lot of people, especially today, are always hating on the police and all that stuff. I'm not one of those people.
No, I'm not
either. Not one of those at all. No. Because I think it takes a special person to always put themselves first, no matter what. I don't let a few actions of a few bad, you know.
Cops give the rest of them a bad name. That's 100% right.
I don't do that with anybody or anything. You know, you judge each person on his own merit.
That's
you don't judge them as a whole, no matter what you do. But I understand whenever the fellow that's talking, he was in the Jicarilla up there, you know, in New Mexico and on their patrol. What he said at the end is how he felt helpless.
Mm.
Is that's something that, you know, that you don't ever think of. You know, when you hear all these officers that have these, you know, these actions and these things happen to them, you would feel helpless. This woman is being terrified by whatever these things are that she's seeing. Now, whether it's a mental health issue, maybe
right,
you feel helpless because it's mentally you can't help her and maybe none of this is going on. But then he sees what rises up out of those trees and then more reports coming in from Chama and all this about these UFOs. It's got to make you start, you know, you kind of feel what he was feeling is you're like, there's nothing I can do. There's not a damn thing I can do to help this woman.
No, aliens nothing. Are interfering with her life.
Exactly. There's not.
So, and at the same time, how terrifying is that? It's a terrifying feeling to realize it's true what this woman's telling you. She's not crazy because he witnessed them rising out of the out of the pasture. And on the second part, you're like you're saying, there's not only is it terrifying that what she's saying is real, but now what can I do to stop this?
Yes.
Nothing.
Well, I always think too, and I know that not all police are that way, but you know, you think back to guys that are trained or that deal with those stressful situations. Like you start taking military and not just a normal military, you start taking the guys that are more like the specialists
mm-hmm.
in certain things in combat situations. Not only are they trained on how to deal with it, but they're also trained on how to deal with it while it's going on. So a stressful situation doesn't affect them the same way as it would one of us.
Yeah.
You know, gunfire, things like that would make people freak. It doesn't bother them at all. They're used to it, much less being in a fight. You know, it's a hard thing. Everybody thinks they can throw a punch till you start getting punched in the face. It's different when the punches are coming at you and you're trying to slip a punch. Things change. All this stuff changes. It's much the same way. But police officers are also trained to kind of deal with these stressful situations, learn how to control their own emotions, to try to rationalize in the most irrational times when you're under a lot of exterior stress. And I think of that every time I think of these sightings. These guys, like you brought up the pilots, these guys are trained to be observers in stressful situations. And then when they see these things, for some reason, whether it's, and I know they're people, we know they all make mistakes. A human being, doesn't matter what title you hold in life,
right, yeah.
You're just a human being. But for some reason, it feels more valid when it comes from somebody that's taken these oaths, that have gone forward, that have done these things. Well, like Officer Delgado, this is something that pretty much shook him up. And I remember, and I didn't touch on it because we've touched on it in the past, but in Ken Gerhardt's book about the flying humanoids, they talk about the witch that came after him, and basically the dude passed out from fear down there in Mexico. You know, a Mexican police officer. It's the same thing. You know, as it was one of those deals that it shook him up so bad. Like, I can't, but that was an attack. This is something that he's witnessed. And he didn't even talk about it for years, you know, until finally he was like, and I think about it every day. But you think about having experience, and we know people that have had these, and we've talked about them on the show numerous times, that have changed them completely because of what they spent their whole life thinking of is now gone. What they've based their reality on is gone. And I think that's what happened to Delgado. I think that's probably what happened to the police this year up there in Maryland that saw that shadow being. Is it's going to make you question everything you see now. Now you've witnessed something that you're not... Like, did that really happen? Because you know the minute you see something, then there's no explanation. If it happened to you and I or anybody listening, if it happened to you and one of your friends, whoever's listening to this, something strange, then you start questioning each other. Then you're like, well, did we really see that? Or did we both just, is that what mass hysteria and mass hypnosis,
right.
You know, what's going on here? But then again, also, it's a way of our coping mechanism. We got to play it off. If we can't explain it, we got to play it off.
Man, you're so right. If you're a police officer yourself and you're listening to this and you had a strange encounter, please send your story to the show. And in fact, we could even feature it on our brand new show, Unusual Encounters. Cam, could you tell everybody about that?
That's right, folks. We launched it. We've launched it already. The video is up on YouTube. If you haven't already, run over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button if you want to see it. We're doing a whole new show. We've talked about it on the Elite Show some. We talked about it here a little. It's going to be called Unusual Encounters. It's where we're going to basically post all of our listener stories. We're going to do a listener story, do the intro, the outro, make it into a video, the whole thing. This recent one's almost 20 minutes long. You can go in. You'll see Kyle and I in studio. We'll address it. We talk about it. We'll do the whole story, you know, and all this. So if you have a story, any first responders, any military stories, anything like anybody with any story that it's happened to them, and they feel whether you want your name, you know, read or not, it's fine. Whichever, whatever, you just let us know. We'll take it from there. But if you feel like sending it to us, email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. And in the subject header, put unusual encounters. You can put it in all caps. It's usually easier. That way it jumps out at us, so we know exactly what's been sent to us. And then that way we'll take it and go. But like I said, if you want to check it out, I've posted it on Facebook. I've shared it on Instagram. But if you want to go check it out, you can go to YouTube. Go to our YouTube page on Expanded Perspectives, and you'll see it there. It's an Unusual Encounters Episode 1. We'll be covering a story about a whistling spirit that was sent to us by a good friend of the show that lives not too far from here, actually. Jeff sent it to us, and it's a great story. It's something that happened that he didn't think anything of it until, like, we talked about one of the Elite shows that I had done about El Saban. And once we talked about it, it jogged his memory, you know, and it seems to be that way. So if you have something that you want to share and you just feel like, man, mine's too crazy, I don't want to share it, I don't want other people to know I'm crazy, we'll change your names. You send it to us. Yeah. We'll change your name. We'll clean up the story. We'll put it out there. And then that way you can see if you're the only one that's had these experiences, because I would bet you're not.
Right.
You find out that more and more people have had the same experience you have, so it starts adding a little more validity to some of this stuff.
I agree. Well, that's about all the time we have for the free show. For you Elite members, we'll be speaking to you on Thursday. Don't forget, you can always rate and write us a review on iTunes. Cam, what do you got planned for your week?
Just hard work and playing catch up. After being off on Monday, it shortens up my week, and I have to really blast through it. The weather is going to be beautiful, and I'm building a table. I'm building a big makeup table for my daughter. She wanted a table to have it, so I'm like doing a with the drawers, and I've got a big light.
Oh, that's
and I've
cool.
Wired in the lighting and all that. So that's what I'm working on right now. I've got a little project going.
Very, very good. I've got Little League Baseball starting, so yes. Practice begins. But that's about it, folks. For Pretty Lights, Inner Tradition Books, New Page Books, Llewellyn Books, Ancient American Magazine, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all. Yeah.
Let's just stop and think before I lose faith.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.